Arise, shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. This is Pastor Keith Hudson of Consuming Fire Christian Center. We're just so glad that you've tuned in tonight. God is doing an awesome thing in the lives of his people, and we want to be part of what God is doing in these last days. We've got a special program for you tonight, and we're going to share with you what we had experienced in our youth service up on last week with Pastor Battle of Lansing, Michigan, and also our praise and worship leader for that night, with none other than Tony Frost of Ypsilanti. And we're just so happy that they have been a part of the ministry and share with us the ministry that God imparted into them. Awesome young men of God that are on fire for God. And so as you listen to the ministry in which they shared with us on last Sunday evening at 4 o'clock, we want you to be blessed. We also want to invite you out to Consuming Fire Christian Center. That's located in Westland, Michigan at 31463 Ann Arbor Trail. And we want you to know that our service starts at 9:30 on Sunday morning with our Rhema study. And also our morning worship service starts at 10:45. And also on Tuesday evening is our intercessory prayer. And Thursday is our Rhema Bible study at 7 o'clock. Come out and be a part of what God is doing. Find a church that you know that God is in and the Word of God is being preached, and there's a manifestation of God's Word. Now we want to share with you the ministry of on last week. Be blessed in Jesus' mighty name.
Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy, yeah. And all of a sudden I'm unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory. Then I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. He is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I'm unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so. Us, how he loves us so. Cause he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves.
Come on, sing with me.
He loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. Yeah. Cause he is my portion and he is my price, drawn to redemption by the grace in his eyes. If grace is an ocean, we're all sinking.
Yes, God.
and heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest. I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. He loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Jealous for me, he is jealous for me, and he is my everything. Yeah, said he is my everything. Oh, said he is my everything. Come on, sing that with me together. Say, he is my everything. Oh, he is my everything. Yeah, he is my everything. So even when I'm all alone, I need to feel you close to me. So I'm asking you to hear my cry. Lord, please don't ever leave. Wrap me in your arms, Lord, of love. Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms of love. Wrap me in your arms of love. So even when I'm all alone, I need to feel you close to me. So I'm asking you to hear my cry. Lord, please don't ever leave. So wrap me in your arms of love. Wrap me in your arms of love. Wrap me in your arms, Lord, of love. Wrap me in your arms of love.
There's another song I love to sing. It says, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence. Come on, sing with me. Say, Holy, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence. Come on, say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence. There's one more says, you made a way. So when my back was against the wall and it looked as if it was over, you made a way. Thank you, God. Yes. And we're standing here only because you made a way. Said you made a way. Can you give me a beat? Said you made a way. You know the song? You, come on, help me out. Made a way. Oh, 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 you, yeah, made a way. I don't know how, but you did it. Made a way. I don't know how, but you did it. You made a way. I don't know why, but you did it. You made a way. Don't know why, but you did it. You made a way. Don't know why, but I'm grateful. 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 I don't know why, but I'm grateful. 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 'Cause you move mountains, yeah, and you cause walls to fall. And with your power, yes, God, you perform miracles. Said there is nothing that's impossible, because we're standing here only because you made. Say, yes, we're standing here only because you made. I said, we're standing here only because you made a way. Come on now, somebody just worship the Lord today.
Just a few short months in this 2016, already God has done some phenomenal things. He's done some great things, not only in my life, but within the body of Christ corporately. The Lord is doing something new, something fresh. And so we're just in awe of his splendor, awe of his majesty, all that he's doing. We certainly want to give honor where honor is due. The great man and woman of God that serve as the angels of this house. Can you put your hands together for your senior leaders, your pastors? Amen. Amen. We honor them for the great work that they're doing in this region. We were in the back, and Pastor was just speaking to me his heart and letting me know how this ministry was birthed and founded, and how God spoke to him about consuming fire. Amen. And he spoke about the supernatural and the miracles that are happening regularly here in this house. And that's not everywhere. It's not everywhere, but you can count yourself among the blessed if that is in operation in your house. So we certainly honor them. I am a man under authority. You know, in a time where there's a lot of rogue ministry going on and people just go out and do their own thing, I certainly honor my senior pastors, Sean and Tayana Holland, who are back in Lansing, amen, If you could give the Lord a hand clap of praise for them. Amen. It's important for any minister, pastor, to be under submission and to be mentored, discipled by someone. You can't go to the next level. There has to be a Moses for a Joshua. And so I'm grateful. I've been walking with my senior pastor almost 10 years now, and he's just been showing me and teaching me and helping me to just navigate the waters, not only of ministry, but of life. Because you can do ministry and go home and things not be in order. But he's teaching me to be a man of God, not only in word, but in deed, and to raise my family in the righteousness of God. So I honor him. Amen. Pastor Starla, thank you so much for continuing to just be a testimony and a witness. As Tony and Pastor Starla mentioned earlier, we kind of grew up together. And, you know, it's amazing, young people. You don't know who you're sitting next to. Just turn to your neighbor and say, who are you? Who are you? You don't know who you're sitting next to. That might be the next prophet of God that you're sitting next to, the next evangelist, the next missionary, the next CEO, the next social media mogul, okay, the next songwriter. You don't know what God is doing in the midst of you. God could be raising up a Gideon right next to you, and you don't even know it. Oh, my God. I feel that. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God. And so we kind of came up together, and God have raised us up to help carry the torch for the next generation, just to move forward and to declare that there is a remnant of young people who are not sold out, that are living on fire for Jesus Christ. And so I just wanted to say that. And lastly, I'm going to get into the word of God, but certainly want to honor my best friend, my lady, my wife, Minister Renika Battle, who's with me on tonight. Amen. Love you so much. We left the kids at home today. My baby boy, Justice Benjamin Battle, and my daughter, Olivia Grace, we left them at the house so we could come and worship with you all on this afternoon. So let's go ahead and get into the word of God on tonight. If you could turn your Bibles to the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel. In 2013, I was doing a service similar to this. And after I was done, my pastor, my mentor, my spiritual father, he came up to me and he said, you know what, son, I can see you writing a book. And he wasn't being spooky about it. He wasn't being overly prophetic, right? You know, sometimes it can be a little bit too much. But he just simply said, you know what, I can see you writing a book. And something leapt in my spirit. And I grabbed that out of the atmosphere and I pulled it in. And I began to go home and just write and just write and write. And so that was 3 years ago. And I wrote this book entitled Don't Bow, Standing Against the Idols of Our Generation. And that's somewhat the premise of what I'm going to be speaking to you on this afternoon. And if there's space provided after we're done, I want to sow this into a young man. Young man. Is anybody birthday this month? A young man. Young man. March? Come on up here, young man. I want to seed this into your life. Amen. Yes, sir. What's your name, man? William. Everybody stretch your hand to William right here. Oh, Savior. Can you just stand right here? I just want to minister to you. Turn around to me, William. Amen. Amen. Very well put together. Are you in high school? Where high school you go to? Lincoln. You from Ipsy? Okay. I'm from Ipsy, Southside. Yes, sir. Amen. Just lift your hands up. Hallelujah. We speak over William now in the name of Jesus. And we just declare great anointing upon him in the name of Jesus. We speak a leadership mantle upon William on tonight. Oh God, you said he's the head and not the tail. Thank you, Jesus. oh God, I just see a trail of people just following behind you. Just you know, you just have that personality. You're going to be a leader. And we speak, even when he gets to college, that he'll be a part of different organizations. He'll always be looking to be the leader and not the follower. And so we release the leadership mantle upon him on tonight. We speak that he would begin to be stirred in the spirit realm, that he would begin to do things that you've called him to do that others are afraid to do. No fear, no fear, no fear, but an anointing and a boldness to go into places that others won't go, and a righteousness and an anointing to stand for Jesus. We declare that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you, men of God. Amen. 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 Let us go to the word of God in Daniel chapter number 3. We'll read verses 1 through 6, and then we'll skip down to verses 16 through 18. The word of God reads, King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and its breadth 6 cubits. He set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then King Nebuchadnezzar sent to gather the satraps, the prefects, and the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the justices, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Verse 3, he called all those same individuals again to come to the dedication of that image. Verse 4, and the herald proclaimed aloud, you are commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that when you hear the sound, everybody say the sound, of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, you are to fall down and worship the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. May the Lord have a blessing to the reading of his word. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for all that you have done. For you are great and you're greatly to be praised. We pray, O God, that you would hide me behind your cross, that I might decrease, that you might increase. We pray that your word would go forth with power, with passion, and with fire. We ask these blessings in Jesus' mighty name we pray. It is so. Amen and amen. Amen. The title of this message on this afternoon is Anointed to Stand and Awakened for His Glory. Turn to the neighbor on your left and say, Anointed to Stand and Awakened for His Glory. We're going to do that one more time. Go ahead and turn to the neighbor on your right and say, Anointed to Stand and Awakened for His Glory. Amen. As we read the first few chapters in the book of Daniel, we find an interesting narrative. In chapter number 1, Daniel, we learn that Nebuchadnezzar is the king of Babylon, and he has destroyed the city of Jerusalem and has taken the children of Israel captive. Historians say this was one of the most vicious military attacks of all time. This army didn't just capture any average individual, but the Bible says that these young people had specific attributes. In Daniel chapter number 1, verses 3 and 4, it says, "Then the king commanded Ashpenaz, his chief eunuch, to bring some of the people of Israel, both of the royal family and of the nobility, youths without blemish, of good appearance and skillful in all wisdom, endowed with knowledge, understanding, learning, and competent to stand in the king's palace and to teach them the literature and the language of the Chaldeans." Young people, on this afternoon, you may have been wondering why your life seems to be challenged so much. You might be asking yourself, why can't I seem to fit within the crowd? And you may have been asking yourself why you're being tempted to bow down to the idols of our generation. Well, it's because you're royalty. Shout, "I'm royalty." Yes, it's because you're royalty. When you accept Jesus Christ into your heart, you become a child of the King, and your enemy understands your potential for greatness. Your enemy understands your ability to shine in the midst of darkness. Your enemy understands your ability to contribute to a great awakening in your generation. Yes, you are royalty. You're of nobility. You're without blemish. You're someone who looks good. Turn to your neighbor and say, "I look good." Yes, you do. You look good on tonight. You're skillful in all wisdom. You have the ability to understand the various sciences. You have the ability to stand within the king's palace, which is a place of significance, importance, and power. You're someone who can learn the literature and language of foreign nations. And this is why the enemy has been attacking your life, so he can try and break you and stop you from shining. But I declare that that will not be the case for any of the young people that are here on tonight, but God is going to raise you up to be an example and to be a witness within your generation. I believe that the Lord is saying that you are a generation of young people who refuse to be broken, who refuse to be seduced, who refuse to be manipulated by the world and their agenda. Now, you have to understand what Babylon was all about. Everybody shout, "Babylon." You have to understand what Babylon was all about. Historians label Babylon as one of the seven wonders of the world. They were known for their beautiful and majestic defense walls. They were known for their skyscraper-like buildings and their intersected-like rows, which you see in our modern day. To make it plain and simple for you young people, Babylon was off the chain. Or to put it into your modern terms, Babylon was on fleek. Yeah, Babylon was on fleek. Y'all act like y'all don't know the language. Babylon was something of another world, of another kind. It was like Atlanta. It was like Hotlanta, what we used to say. It was like Los Angeles. It was like New York City. It had the glitz. It had the glamour. It had everything that you needed to get your flesh fulfilled. And what the enemy desired to do was to get these young people with a promise and a destiny to become accustomed to the traditions of Babylon and eventually bow down to the images and the idols of that day. Well, the same thing is happening on today. Young people are being influenced by secularism. Let me put it this way. Young people are being pimped by secularism. We find ourselves catering and clamoring for the images and idols that are prevalent in our society. It's what we see when we're on the internet and we're looking at sites like World Star Hip Hop. Y'all know what World Star Hip Hop is. Don't look at me like I'm crazy. You know what World Star Hip Hop is. It's on the television when you're watching Empire and Scandal. Some of our parents is watching Empire and Scandal while we're acting funny about it. But I want you to know it's everywhere. It's in social media when you're on Twitter and you're going down your news feed. It's in Facebook when you're hitting the like button. It's on Instagram when you're double tapping, you hit a heart on the Instagram picture. It's on Snapchat. But I declare that the Lord is looking for a generation of young people who are willing to stand against
against what society says is okay. God is anointing young people to stand against promiscuity. Oh, yes, he is. God is raising up a righteous remnant of young men and young women to stand up for the things of God. He is anointing this generation to stand in the face of peer pressure, to turn up, to drink, to smoke, to engage in fornication. God is raising up a righteous remnant, an anointed generation to prophesy and to declare the works of the Lord. And if you agree with that declaration, why don't you go ahead and put those hands together and give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Now you must also understand that it is the enemy's job to steal, kill, and destroy. So he's not just going to let you shine like a light in the midst of darkness without challenging you. He's not going to just let you be a part of the next great revival without trying to stop you. Now, as I researched the book of Daniel, I found three challenges that the enemy will present to this generation. The first challenge is the challenge of consumption. Turn to your neighbor and say, the challenge of consumption. It is what you eat. The Bible says in Daniel chapter number 1, verse 5, the king assigned them a daily portion of the food that the king ate and of the wine that he drank. They were to be educated for 3 years, and at the end of that time, they were to stand before the king. Now, what makes this challenge so interesting is that Daniel and the Hebrew boys never consumed what was being offered to them while living in Jerusalem. It would literally make them sick to digest it. To add insult to injury, this meat would be thrown on the floor and offered up as a sacrifice to Babylonian God. So the question that I have for you on tonight, young people, is what are you eating that is making you sick? What are you consuming that is making you sick? What are you eating that is making you spiritually unhealthy? What are you consuming that is causing a separation in your relationship with Jesus Christ? Now, Daniel and the Hebrew boys respond in a great, great, magnificent way. They tell the eunuch that they refuse to defile themselves with the king's meat and ask if they can partake of a different diet. God is calling this generation today to partake of a different diet. God is calling this generation to refuse to bow down and consume sacrifice meat, but to have a heavenly diet. Now, you might be asking yourself, what in the world is a heavenly diet? Well, it is a steady intake of God's word and his spirit. The Bible says, whoever hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. And if you desire, young people, to be filled with God's presence on tonight, just lift up your hands and say, fill me up, Lord. Come on and lift up your hands and say, fill me up, Lord. Hallelujah. The enemy doesn't stop at your consumption, though. He moves on to a second challenge, which is known as the challenge of identity. Now turn to your neighbor on your right and say, the challenge of identity. The Bible says in Daniel chapter number 1, verse 7, and the chief of the eunuchs gave them names. Daniel he called Belteshazzar. Hananiah he called Shadrach. Mishael he called Meshach. And Azariah he called Abednego. Now, whenever a foreign nation took people captive, they would change their names, which signifies their authority and power over them. And on tonight, young people, the enemy desires to label you with something. He might call you stupid or unintelligent. He might call you ugly and unattractive. He might call you a minority that will never amount to anything. He may call you a failure for your past mistakes. He might call you a drug addict, an alcoholic. He might call you promiscuous. But understand what God calls you. He calls you by name. According to 1 Peter chapter number 2 in the New Living Translation in verse 9, it says, but you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, and God's very own possession. as a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. And I'm here to let you know on tonight, young people, don't let the enemy label you with something that God has never uttered out of his mouth. Don't let the enemy speak into your inner man and try to change your thoughts and your understanding about who you are. You are God's chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. God has his hand upon you. He has his hand upon you for great and mighty works and exploits for his kingdom. Don't let the enemy label you when God has never spoken that into existence. Hallelujah. The enemy is a counterfeit. When he changes your name, it's meant to destroy you. But when God changes your name, it's meant to upgrade you. I'll say that again so you can hear it in your spirit. When the enemy changes your name, it's meant to defeat you. It's meant to destroy you. It's meant to keep you down and not to lift up. But when the God changes your name, it's meant to upgrade you. Yeah, turn to your neighbor and say, it's time for an upgrade. Oh yeah, it's time for an upgrade. Some of y'all are getting ready to get new vision. Some of you are getting ready to get a fresh mantle. Some of you are getting ready to receive a double portion of the anointing. God is getting ready to up you. Somebody shout upgrade. Hallelujah. I got some biblical examples for you in case you don't believe me that God is in the business of upgrading who you are. Abram, whose name meant exalted father, his name became Abraham, which is a father of a multitude. Jacob, whose name meant heel holder, supplanter, trickster, his name became Israel, which means God prevails. Saul, whose name meant desired, he became Paul, which means small or little. And sometimes you have to become small so that God can be enlarged within the earth. Sometimes, young people, you have to be okay with being humble and being small for a season so that God can be enlarged within your high school. Sometimes you got to be willing for God to just put you down a little bit until he can raise you up in due season. So what is God calling you on tonight and in this hour? Does he call you a leader? Someone that's meant to be in the front with others following behind them? Does he call you a praiser on tonight, that in a split second moment you be willing to give God praise despite what your friends think about you? I remember one time when I was at TM youth camp and I began to worship God and give him praise, and my best friend was sitting there looking at me laughing, and I felt condemned. But then the Lord said, he doesn't know what I'm doing in the midst of your life. And young people, I'm here to tell you to not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whatever is going on in your life, despite it all, be willing to be a praiser. Does God call you a worshiper, that you're willing to give the Lord the fruit of your lips, not for what he's done, but for who he is? There is a generation of young people that are anointed like David, that are willing to dance and give God praise despite it all. There is a worshiping generation that is arising, and I want to give you just 30 seconds to begin to give God the fruit of your lips. Come on and open up your mouth and begin to give God some praise. I'm talking to the next generation. I'm just not talking to the parents. I command my spirit to give God my very best praise. Hallelujah. I'm a praiser. I don't care what nobody say. When I'm driving in my car going to school, I give them praise. When I get done with my football practice, I give them praise. When I get done in cheerleading practice, I give them praise, because you don't know where I've come from. And some of you young people have been dealing with things that other young people could never imagine. But I declare on tonight, if you put yourself in the posture of praise, God will begin to turn situations around, that you would be anointed to stand. Hallelujah. Oh God. Hallelujah. Now, the last challenge of the three is a culmination of the previous two challenges. And it brings us back to our opening scripture. It is the challenge of worship, God versus idols. Turn to your neighbor and say, the challenge of worship. The end goal of the enemy is to get you to worship idols. The Bible says that the king set up a golden image to which every individual would have to bow down when they hear the sound of music. Now, I find it ironic that Lucifer, who was a covering angel and known for his musical ability, wanted to be lifted up as a god for others to worship. In the same way, our generation is bowing down to images and idols in the music and entertainment industry. Now, I just want you to know I'm one of those preachers that don't stand on the sideline. I have to declare the righteousness of God and what he is speaking to this generation. We bow down to various artists, no matter who they are, and lift up their secular accomplishments as if that is the pinnacle of your success. We glamorize their lifestyle and equate their professional accomplishments and think that that's all there is to do in the earth. The question that I have for you on tonight, young people, is what is the sound that makes you bow down? What is the sound that makes you bow down? Now, I'm going to take a turn to the right here for a moment. Now, when I was in high school, we would go to different functions. I'll call it a function, but really it's parties. Right, we go to some parties, and for many that live in this area, we're most of our parents are part of the auto industry, and my cousin, she would be known for throwing these parties, and when you work in the auto industry, you get access to the UAW loco. Does anybody know what a UAW loco is up in here? Hallelujah. And so my cousin, she would throw together these functions, these parties. And the girls would be at the party, and, you know, they'd be kind of dancing around and whatnot. And all the guys would be kind of, you know, just kind of like this on the wall, just scoping out the scene, you know, scoping everything out. And it doesn't matter what was playing musically beforehand when we got there and during the function or the party. But when one particular song would be played, just one song. One particular song that would be played, Godzilla. When Godzilla would come on, all the girls would run out on the dance floor. All the boys would run out. We're giving fives. We're getting ready to have a good time. What is the sound that makes you bow down? What is that sound? Is it the latest music artist that calls for you to lessen your morals and your Christian values? Is it the sound of a text or a tweet to your boyfriend or your girlfriend that you would be embarrassed to show your parents? What is the sound? But I declare on tonight that God is looking for a generation of young people who won't recite the words produced by man-made idols, but will sing forth the praises of our King. God is raising up an army of young people ready to make the sound of worship. Now, please understand, when you refuse to bow down to the golden image of your generation, you're going to be sent to the fire. Sure, your fire may not be literal, but it could be something else. Your fire could be peer pressure to smoke or to drink, to have sex. But despite it all, you have to know that if God be for you, who can be against you? The Bible records this in Daniel chapter number 3, verse 19. If this be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O King, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. There is a holy boldness that God is unleashing upon this generation. It is an anointing to stand for God in the face of adversity. It is a passion for the things of God. It is a release of gifts and talents for the world to understand that Jesus is King. There is an awakening of young people who are not bowing down but are passionate about Jesus. They are tired of playing the church game. They're tired of doing that. Coming to church and doing the routine. You know exactly when you get in and exactly when you're going out, but there is a generation of people who are a consuming fire that are laying prostrate before God and saying, I need more of you. I need you, Jesus, more than anything else. I need you more than a boyfriend or a girlfriend. I need you more than popularity. I need you more than money. I need you more than absolutely anything. I need Jesus because there's stuff that's going on in my own house. Mama's going through and daddy is going through, and I see things. This generation sees more things than any generation has ever seen. Young people having to take care of parents. Young people having to send refund checks back home because mom and dad are going through. But I declare that there is a generation of young people that will stand up like Daniel and begin to turn and open up the windows. And when they say that you cannot pray, I say I'm going to press in even deeper, that I'm going to be the intercessor of my home. There is a release and an anointing upon this generation that they're not no longer standing back, but God has their hand upon them. Hallelujah. God has his hand upon this generation to do miracles, signs, and wonders. There is an awakening. Shout awakening. There is an awakening. Hallelujah. They're tired of this church gang professing one lifestyle and living another. They said, you know what? I want the real Jesus. I don't want, and you know what? We honor our patriarchs. Yes, we do. The things that they've set forth and established for us. If it wasn't somebody in Sunday school, Pastor Starla teaching me the way, Tony teaching us the way, I would not be. Sister Patterson, I call her name out right now, and I declare a double portion anointing wherever she is right now. See, I done shifted and moved into something else. I declare over Sister Patterson right now in the name of Jesus that God will repay her for all the seeds that she has sown. See, that's what God is doing in this generation. The ability to slip into the prophetic and do what others are not willing to do. Hallelujah. It's those patriarchs that have shown the way. But there is another group of people, a righteous remnant of young people that says, you know what? I want what the old church have, and I want also the new move. I don't want one or the other. I want it all. And God is saying that there is a synergy of the ages, that there are fathers that are going to the sons, and there are daughters that are going to the mothers. And there's a synergy of the ages that people like Pastor Hudson is going to begin to speak into the youth and say, you don't got to wait until you're 40, but God is saying, I'll use you right now. God is saying, I'll do it in this generation. If I gotta stir it up and shake it up and get some young people off the street on the south side of Ypsilanti, I'm gonna grab me somebody that has a heart for me and doesn't mind going to their classroom and saying that Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. God is moving. He's shifting. He's releasing mantles of revival upon this generation. Hallelujah. And if you want to know, young people, where you should be in God's story, it's standing as a light to the world, like a city set upon a hill, so that others who are in darkness can find their way to Jesus. Young people are looking for Jesus and they don't even know it. They're looking for answers. Young people in our generation are dealing with severe cases of depression and low self-esteem, and they need answers to Jesus. their issues. Young people are dealing with thoughts of suicide. And just last month alone, there were 2 suicides in East Lansing High School, which is down the road from where I live. But I declare that the spirit of suicide will not infiltrate Westland John Glenn High School. The spirit of suicide will not overtake Wayne Memorial. The spirit of suicide will not enter Cass Tech and Renaissance. It ain't going to Ipsy High or Ipsy Lincoln, Inkster, Robeshaw. It ain't even going into Wayne County Community College, Henry Ford, wherever you're at. I declare that God is putting up a standard against that spirit. Hallelujah. But the Lord is saying that I will release my presence. I will release my spirit upon this generation like never before. It is a Joel chapter number 2 type thing, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and sons and daughters shall prophesy. And prophecy ain't nothing but the testimony of Jesus Christ. And if you want to be a prophet of God, just start walking like Jesus walked. Just start talking like Jesus talked. Just begin to exemplify the character of our dear God, and they will say that you are amongst the glorious people of God. Hallelujah. Oh God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lastly, the Lord gave me revelation on this matter. He said, Marcus, now my name is Demarcus Richard Battle. But young people, you have to understand that God speaks to you intimately, right? He says, Marcus. He said, Marcus, this generation will be great, but they must understand it is not only about the sound, but it is about the stand. I'm going to say that again. It's not only about the sound, but it is about the stand. So we give God glory for all that he's doing within the church and in the kingdom of God. We have young people that are on youth praise teams and dance teams, and they're gifted musically. You know, they can do that thing, and they know how to make the sound of worship. Especially for us that kind of came up in this thing. We know how to make the sound of worship. But do we exemplify the stand of worship? Worship is more than singing and dancing. It is embodying the character of Jesus every single day. It is embodying the character of Jesus in your high school or your college. It's embodying the character, the mission, and ways of Jesus on your sports team or on your job and in the community. Now, that is true revival. That's true awakening when you can make the stand of worship and not just the sound. Hallelujah. If you can stand in the fire, Jesus will meet you in a profound way. Not only that, but you will be able to have an impact on the culture. You will spark revival. Based upon their stand, the king of Babylon made a decree that the people of Babylon would take note and not speak against the God of the Hebrew boys. So here's a question I have for you, young people. Does your witness speak louder than the culture? Does your individual relationship with Jesus Christ speak louder than the sounds of the culture? Daniel and the Hebrew boys literally became lights in the middle of the darkest time and darkest nation of their day. Are you standing for God? Are you shining for Jesus? Does your light resemble that of just a simple firefly, you know? Or does it illuminate like a blazing flame of fire? We don't need more flashlights, young people. We don't need that, right? You know, willing to be turned on only when it's convenient or when it's an emergency, right? And, you know, we got a lot of different, we can kind of prioritize those emergencies, right, in our generation. But no, God is looking for a generation that are willing to be on fire. We need the type of light that brings heat and illumination. The type of light, that type of light is the fire of the Holy Spirit. You must be on fire for God in this hour, and when that happens,
you are awakened for his glory. Jesus brought the greatest awakening ever when he came and died for our sins. Boy, was that an awakening there. People were looking for some help. And Jesus stepped into the earth. Stepped into the earth. Lived a life, sold, discipled, ministered, and laid his life down. It sent shockwaves throughout the world. Now he is saying, I need you to be the spark of revival. I need you young people to be the revivalist, the one that brings awakening in your high school. The Lord gave me three distinct mandates. First and foremost, any minister, we want you to experience that love of Jesus. If you're saying, you know what, I'm tired of the mundane, I'm tired of the average, I want to go into the supernatural, I want a relationship with a God that actually talks, right?